A well-established brand, a well-articulated brand, it allows an impression to be formed before you even get into the room.
If professional services marketing sometimes feels like throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks, this podcast is for you. Welcome to Educated Spaghetti, marketing ideas that stick, presented by Right Hat. On each episode, your host, brand strategist Lisanne Schwartz, sits down with marketing pros and creative thinkers to untangle the marketing chaos. So pull up a chair at the Educated Spaghetti table and let's dig in.
Today, we're talking about how to take the leap into a new brand or rebrand project and how doing so can help professional services firms strengthen their reputations and stand out in a crowded market. My guest is Paul Zimmerman, whose work has shaped brand narratives for iconic businesses in both consumer goods and professional services. Paul currently leads communication and PR at Michelman Robinson, a law firm headquartered in Los Angeles with offices across the United States and, coming soon, to London. Michelman Robinson has established itself as a powerhouse in sectors like hospitality, financial services, technology, music and entertainment, digital media, and more. Paul is in charge of the firm's marketing, media strategy, and content, as well as a major brand project for the firm. Before taking charge of Michelman Robinson's brand and voice, Paul was himself a lawyer, and in his words, he hated every minute of it. But luckily for the communications world, he was able to change course and become a business writer, a high-level speechwriter, and a law firm executive. He also taught writing for more than a decade at USC Law School. Paul, welcome to the podcast.
You make me sound way more impressive than I actually am. Thank you for having me. I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Well, I'm thrilled that you're here. Before we start talking about launching a brand project, let me start just by asking you a very basic question, which is, how would you answer the question, what is a brand?
I'm going to date myself. That's a $64,000 question. It's one that I have a very direct answer to, but let me first tell you what the answer is not. I think a lot of people would define brand as a logo, as a tagline, maybe a color palette. Those are not brand. Those are the expression of a brand. A brand is much more foundational. A brand is ultimately how a company, mine is Michelman Robinson, is perceived by clients, by recruits, by competitors, by the marketplace. It's not just what we say we are, it's what others believe we are. I thought about the definition of brand because I knew going into this podcast, you were going to ask me something along these lines. And someone, actually a friend of mine who's very high level in the marketing world, he defined brand as something that lives in the space between reputation and aspiration. I like that. Not quite sure I can get my arms around it completely, but I like that a lot. For firms like mine, brand means articulating to our clients why they should choose us. What's our edge? What's our approach? What's our differentiator?
I think I'm going to borrow some of that the next time that I'm asked to say what a brand is. But with all of that, all of the importance of those things that you've just said, why is it that professional services firms, and really particularly law firms, often overlook brand as an important part of their marketing, business development, business strategy?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that firms like mine is a mid-sized firm, even smaller firms than mine, boutique-sized firms, they're all high-performing. They do great work. They're intensely focused on, and not just law firms, accounting firms, consultancy firms, across the professional services spectrum. They're not in the headspace to prioritize branding. They're devoted to building and maintaining a client base, delivering high impact results. And I think they view branding as, you know, not a must have, maybe a nice to have, certainly not a business imperative. And then they're faced with the cost of it. Because, you know, as I initially said, what a brand isn't, logo, tagline, colors. Well, to the extent that's what so many stakeholders and professional services firms believe brand to be, they don't want to invest in it. And doing it the right way is not cheap. and they don't necessarily understand the ROI because there's not always a direct line to ROI. But ultimately, there is ROI because a brand elevates a company. It separates a company. It differentiates a company. So they overlook it at their peril.
Do you think that there is a right time to do a brand project?
I don't know. I think the right time is when you find yourself with the headspace to tackle it. And when I say you, I would mean firm leadership has the clarity to understand how important branding is and how exciting it could be and how it can really change the direction of a firm in terms of its messaging and in terms of its status amongst competitors and in the marketplace overall. The right time is when you're willing to do it. And maybe through this conversation, people who may be listening might say, maybe this is a good idea and maybe it'll be a good time for them to do it. I began this current process of rebranding my firm a bit over a year ago. It's not something that happens overnight if you're doing it right. And it was the right time for me.
Why do you think it was the right time for the firm and you?
The short answer is this. I work for a firm that is rather entrepreneurial. I work for a firm that was founded by an extraordinary entrepreneur who understands the importance of marketing, who understands the importance of brand, and who is willing to put the resources behind us taking on a project like this. We're branded previously, before beginning this rebrand, but we didn't do a great job of it, frankly. Now we are.
So tell us a little bit about the scope of the project.
So a bit of background, even though you provided some in my introduction, but I work for a firm that's now called Michelman Robinson. It was called Michelman & Robinson, LLP, attorneys at law, but that really was not a modern expression of our name. So we have shortened that and now we are Michelman Robinson. A year ago-ish, I was approached by the firm managing partner of Michelman Robinson, who gave me a mandate. And that was to elevate the awareness of our firm within our specific geographical markets and nationwide. Now that nationwide has crossed across the ocean and it becomes international because we're launching an office in London. But that was my mandate. And that led me to seek out a branding agency, because this is something, while I have a clear understanding of brand and its importance, I'm not a branding professional. And while I know enough to be dangerous, I'm not smart enough to do a great job on my own. I am smart enough to hire a team that can. And so I interviewed several agencies, large and small, and with the input of my firm leadership, settled on a firm that you may be familiar with. It's called Right Hat.
Seeing
that tongue in cheek because you are one of the leads, Right Hat. And so once settled on Right Hat, the agency, the process looked like this. It was not, okay, let's design your logo and come up with some new messaging and design a website, because that would be putting the cart before the horse. What Right Hat did with my help and with my oversight is to roll up their collective sleeves and do all kinds of research, talk to clients of the firm, large and small, internal stakeholders, leadership, staff members, my team, which is the marketing team, associates, partners, recruiters externally, to get a really good sense of who we are, who we were, what we do well. Hopefully, there isn't too much of this, but what we aren't doing as well as we can. To get a real understanding of how we're perceived by these different individuals. And with those learnings, we're able to figure out what differentiates us, because it's that differentiation, that really is the anchor of what the brand should be. In our case, it was strategy. It was very clear from the research done and the data that my firm is just way more strategic than the average bear. And so this strategy the strategy first approach that we take to everything we do. Quickly, I digress, but we do litigation, we do transactions, we do regulatory work. No matter the type of work, we take a real strategic approach to it all. And that informed our mantra, our ethos, our tagline, three moves ahead. With those learnings, Right Hat's creative team began designing a logo, a reimagined logo. Right Hat's messaging team, which you, Lisanne, headed up, came out with some messaging pillars. I look at them as rules, really. We could talk about that later. And then we began designing a website, all of it informed by this research. That's the process. We're now at the tail end of that process, where as we're recording this, we're about a month away from launching this new website, which is really exciting. It's night and day from what we had. And my law firm, the law firm I work for, does really extraordinary work for really extraordinary clients. We're a very high-end shop. We play in the same sandbox as big law all the time. Our brand, again, which is going to be launching in just a small handful of weeks, is finally as modern, as sophisticated, and as high-end as the work that we do for our clients. And that's a really great thing. And I'm really excited about it.
Well, we were very appreciative at Right Hat at how generous the firm was in giving us access throughout the firm to people at all levels, spending time with us, giving us access to clients that we could talk with, and helping to facilitate that process as well. Because I agree with you, the research really does, it makes it so that we're not just throwing spaghetti at the wall. What we have is our educated spaghetti, educated by all this research and learnings.
Yeah.
Did the process of having people involved make buy-in easier?
You know, buy-in was not a problem for me because it was my firm's leadership, as I mentioned, our firm managing partner, who gave me the directive to do this work. So buy-in was never a problem. But I'll tell you, I have, while we haven't launched yet, I've given sneak peeks to many people at the firm, and they're all so excited that they have this visual representation of the brand that's about to be launched, that they could be so proud of, anxious to share it with their clients and would-be clients, that buy-in would not have been a problem.
That's so exciting to hear. What are some of the things that stand out to you in terms of the changes from where you were before this process to where you're going to be in a few weeks?
You know, not everything that my firm did in terms of brand prior to this redesign was necessarily bad. In fact, some of it was quite good. But there wasn't a through line to it all. There wasn't a consistency to it all. And it wasn't always anchored on the same message or the same value proposition. And the reason is because that message and that value proposition wasn't really well defined. Now it is. Again, strategy, 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 three moves ahead. And so what I'm most excited about is to be able to activate the brand and deploy it in such a way that there's going to be a consistency to it, that what visually, whatever you see coming from my firm, you will be able to identify as coming from my firm. And that's not simply because it has the same logo on it, because again, brand is not just about logo. So I'm very excited about that. I'm very excited about the fact that I have a real tangible definition and a real tangible roadmap in terms of who we are, what we do, why we do it, why we're so good at it, and then how to express that and articulate that externally. Internally as well, but externally. That's what I'm most excited about.
And hopefully it won't just be you, it'll be the lawyers and the staff as well that will be able to use that sort of that playbook, if you will.
That's exactly right, because part of the activation is not only making sure that all of our various assets, whether it's a pitch deck, for instance, or any other kind of marketing collateral, that it's reflective of our brand, but it's also about me sitting in a room with a bunch of our partners and training them to understand what our consistent and cohesive message is, what our mantra is, not to get, you know, I don't want to sound cult-like because we're not, but, you know, it's this notion of strategy first that should be first and foremost in the discussion when we're talking about who we are, what makes us different, what makes us so great. Same with our non-legal professionals, right? So there's a lot of training, a lot of rejiggering, a lot of redesign in terms of collateral that is taking place so that we can activate this brand in an optimal way. And it's fun and it's exciting.
And I have to say for you, I really heard a lot of consistency when we were in the firm and we were talking with people around the idea of the strategy, around the fact that people are trained that way. You know, that when we speak to associates, they talk about being trained to think those three steps ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, that it's not a tagline for the sake of a tagline. I mean, the truth is our firm, getting off brand for a moment, but you know, to our firm's credit, it does a great job training litigators, for instance, to become great trial lawyers. We have an in-house trial advocacy program. Same for our transactional work, young lawyers learning how to structure deals. And so much of it is based on strategy, right? So we really put our money where our mouth is. It's not something that we're coming up with let me say it this way. It's very authentic to who we are. And that, by the way, is what makes for a great brand. If you're trying to be something that you're not, I think you have some problems. But if you can do a great job expressing who you are, what makes you different, what makes you different, better, special, then you're onto something. And I think that's exactly what we've done here. And I thank you and your team for getting us there.
Tell me what are some of the tools that you are finding helpful in activating the new brand and building it into your content and your messaging?
Well, the obvious answer and the real answer is AI. So my firm has been an early adopter of AI, and we put a lot of resources into creating forgive me if I'm not getting this technically perfect the way I'm articulating this, but we have a closed network platform, a version of ChatGPT that we call Murphy, M-R-F-E-E. And Murphy is, I guess it's a large language model, but because we're a law firm and because we handle confidential matters, obviously, and have to keep everything confidential, it's a closed network. So that which we input into Murphy is not used for the larger ongoing training of the technology. I don't know exactly how to say that right, but hopefully your listeners and viewers get what I'm saying. It preserves all of the confidentiality that we need to preserve. Anyway, what AI has allowed me to do is to create messaging in a way that's a much lighter lift. For instance, we're about to go live with a new website. That website includes 80 some odd biographies of lawyers that work for the firm. 2 years ago, even a year ago, I would be knocking my head against the wall because I would be writing from scratch the biographies of 80 lawyers. What AI and Murphy has allowed me to do is to input certain rules that I wanted to adhere to in helping me to create these biographies: length, word count, style, tone. And then I could simply provide prompt AI, prompt Murphy, with background about the firm's lawyers. And it magically, truly magically, spits out bios that adhere to these style rules that are all very good. They're not perfect. I still have to edit them. And I actually edit them quite a lot because the output still isn't as human as I would want it to be. So I still have to work, but not, frankly, nearly as hard as inventing all of these biographies from scratch. That's just one example. There's a lot that AI can do to help me perfect our messaging. And there's a lot that AI can help me do to stay on track, to make sure that all my messaging is consistent and that all my messaging echoes this strategy first ethos. So that tool is really the game changer.
Some people think, well, brand is very human, AI is very machine, but they can really come together, it seems to me, and enhance each other.
Yes, yes, and yes. The AI, while it gets better every single minute of every single day, is still not perfect. It's very rare that I leverage AI and end up using exactly what it spits out, depending upon the project. I'm always giving it a human touch. Sometimes I don't like it at all, and I have to start from scratch. But frequently, I've become more of an editor than I've become a writer. That's good and bad, because I really love writing. So I still do it. But it's just made it easier, especially for kind of more mundane tasks, like putting together 80-some-odd biographies, which could be mind-numbing. So yeah, we're lucky to have it.
Paul, what advice would you give to a firm that's considering embarking on a brand project? Lessons learned, or, you know, your top takeaways?
That's a great question. And if I were at a cocktail party and someone found out what I did and they asked me that, I would be happy to answer. And I would very easily say this: do it right the first time. It's an investment. It's an investment in time, money, resources. Again, some leaders at professional services firms might blink because they may not necessarily see that direct line between that investment, all that cost, and ROI, because again, it's not direct, but it's there. A well-established brand, a well-articulated brand, it allows an impression to be formed before you even get into the room. If one of the partners at my firm has a meeting with a prospect to pitch business, that prospect is going to take a look at our website and they're going to ask themselves, are they the real deal? Are they as sophisticated as they say they are? And if you have a really high-end visual articulation of who you are on that website, that answers the question for them. Their perception of our sophistication, of the level of our work, is formed even before we get into that room, right? That by itself is worth the investment. You know, like I said before, my firm does really, really high-end work, and we need a brand that mirrors that, because so much about opportunity is about perception. So getting back to the question, what would my advice be? My advice would be invest and do it right the first time. Partner with people who know how to do this. Don't skimp on that important work of determining who are you, all that research, and be open-minded to what the results may be, right? Because a chairman of a consulting firm, a chairman of another law firm, might have a really great idea of what that firm is, and they might be totally wrong, because that's not how they're really perceived in the marketplace. So do it right the first time, make the investment, have an open mind, and accept the learnings of all of the research that will be done if your branding project has been done correctly.
Great advice. Are there any particular resources that you would recommend if somebody wants to check out a website or read more about it for just education or inspiration?
I would start by taking a look at brands that resonate with them. And it doesn't, if it's a professional services firm, it doesn't have to be a professional services brand. It could be anything. Does Apple resonate with you? Does Nike resonate with you? Does Cartier resonate with you? I don't know. Name your brand. Name your consumer product brand. Whatever it is. See what resonates with you and then ask yourself why. Then I would say take a look at what your business peers are doing. Is anyone doing this work really well? And then partner. Do your research and partner with an agency. And here's a plug, Lisa Ann. Sorry, but find a Right Hat or find Right Hat and partner with an agency like yours that knows how to do this. My firm's project was not your first rodeo by far. Yet, the product that you've developed or helped me to develop is in no way cookie cutter, is in no way derivative of other law firms that you've represented in the past. So you know, it's been a really fortunate partnership between my firm and yours. And so I would tell others, you know, to do their research and find firms like yours to collaborate with.
Thank you so much for that, for those kind words. It has been our absolute pleasure and privilege to work with you. And we are so excited to see this launch and help you carry it forward as much as we can. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your ideas and your experience. If you at home would like to connect with Paul, you can find him at pzimmerman@mrllp.com.
Thanks, Lisanne. I mean, as you can sense from our conversation, I'm more than happy to talk about this stuff. And so anybody who might be viewing this, who wants to reach out to me, talk more, you know, specifically and more in detail about my experience in my rebranding project, I'm an open book. So happy to talk about it. Thanks for inviting me to chat with you today. It's been a lot of fun.
That's today's serving of Educated Spaghetti. Thank you to Maddie Langle for producing this episode and managing our social media, Charlene Fabi for our logo design and music, and you for listening. To comment on today's topic or suggest future episodes, visit righthat.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We hope you'll join us next time for more marketing ideas that stick.